Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Thursday. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier behind the glass. And Vanderbilt baseball up and running for this season and had a couple of games this week. They have a series against Gonzaga at the Hawk this weekend. And we say hello to Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt baseball coach, who's on the line with us. Coach, good to talk to you. It's been a minute. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Good to talk to you guys.
Yeah. So early on in the season, you know, obviously kind of getting into a rhythm with things. What's some quick takeaways of what you've seen from your club so far in the early portion of the season?
Well, I think we still have a lot of unanswered questions just because of our roster. We've got a lot of guys that we feel like can help us or have similar abilities. So it's trying to find the right guys in the right spots. We're trying to put our rotation together as well, which I think we'll come closer to this week with Carter Holton starting on Friday and then falling back to Bryce Cunningham and Devin Futrell. So they've all pitched for us in the past, which will kind of be a good thing. And then, you know, the 5-game weeks present a challenge just from the extension of your pitching and the innings and trying to find guys that can get on the field. This is a deep freshman class, so it's trying to insert them at proper times so they can learn. But at the same time, we've got some older kids who can help us as well. So there's a balance. So still learning quite a bit. I mean, the record says 3-2, but, you know, I don't even look at the record right now as much as we look at, okay, what areas do we need to grow in right now? And you don't really know that until you play an opponent. And at the same time, when you play an opponent, you don't know what level they are or what level you are. So there's still a long way to go, which is very encouraging.
So the something I wanted to ask you, you know, you opened the season with a 3-game series against Florida Atlantic. And when you play a series against a team, you can learn tendencies. They can learn your tendencies, those things over the course of the series. But then you have a couple of just single games against Dayton and Eastern Kentucky. What's the challenge of playing a team once as opposed to a 3-game series? And how can that benefit your team in having to adjust more on the fly when they don't have a full series to really learn what a team can do?
Well, I think it's good in a lot of ways because you can't really focus too much on the opponent. So you can become more self-centered, really, in terms of your growth. And, you know, I think for us, and I say this just conservatively, but, you know, anyone who comes into this ballpark is looking at Vanderbilt and our baseball program as an opportunity to, you know, beat us and post a good win. And I think we get everyone's best bullet. You know, there's a lot of resistance when we're playing Dayton. There's a lot of resistance when we played Florida Atlantic. I mean, those two teams in particular, and even last night in Eastern Kentucky, all those teams showed the ability to come back towards the end of the game. And when you're playing for your baseball life, so to speak, in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, it creates resistance within the game, whether you're a defensive player and whether you're a pitcher. And that's only going to help you. And you just can't ever drop your gloves. You know, you got to keep your gloves up all the time. And you take the name and you can scrap it. You know, it's a white uniform, black uniform, however you want to perceive it. But there's no name on it because everyone's really good. And I mean that. There's a lot of good players. College baseball's never been in a situation where you look across the country and you've got 200-plus teams that have a lot of good players. It could be playing in the SEC or somewhere else. They just happen to be on other teams. But what it does is it forces you to get to your level because, as we've seen, you can get knocked back really quick Tuesday night at a 5-1 lead, and then we imploded in one inning, and next thing you know, we're walking off the field and the other team's celebrating. So those things can happen.
We're talking to Vanderbilt head baseball coach Tim Corbin. Coach, it's so good to talk to you again and hear your voice. You talk about having
a deep
freshman class, but these guys know it, right? They know that the target is on y'all's back because of the success that you've had, you know, in the 10, 15, 20 years. Does it take a while for them to understand that, or should they know that going in?
Well, I guess you would think they should know that going in, but they really know it when there's a party on the other side of the field after the game's over. They understand what it feels like because it's real. I mean, and I think it's very real when teams come in here. I mean, they're very prepared. They're everyone's trying to play their best, and you know, if we're playing local teams, you're facing a lot of kids that weren't in our camps that said, I'm going to show you why you made a mistake and didn't recruit me. So there's, you know, there's a lot of that. And then, of course, in the SEC. So, yeah, I think when you've had a consistent program for a long period of time, it's, you know, there's times where you have to reinvent yourself. But at the same time, we're another chapter in this big book of Vanderbilt baseball. And that chapter always has some importance on what's going to happen in the future. So, that's we speak about that a lot. But at the same time, it's very visual once you start to get into action.
I think you had a great quote years ago when somebody asked you about losing players to the major leagues and guys who signed out of high school. And you said, if I remember correctly, I'm paraphrasing, I wish them all the success in the world, but I'm only focused on who's here. And I guess that's kind of the way you got to coach. It's like, you can't worry about who didn't come, who didn't show up, who went to another program. You got to take care of what's in your own dugout, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to turn quick. And I mean, sometimes that can be disappointing when you have a player that you felt that you were going to keep. I remember there's been a lot of them, but even a guy like Anthony Volpe, who's the shortstop of the Yankees. I mean, this was a kid who was so dead set on coming to Vanderbilt, academic kid, parents, you know, wanted nothing but college. And then his hometown team that they had season tickets for 20 years decided to take him in the first round and he was gone. And I love Anthony. He's a wonderful kid, but you have to remove your emotions immediately once that happens. Say, okay, it's on to the next player because you can't do anything about that. And it's kind of the uncontrollables of life. You don't have control of the draft. You don't have control of people's decision-making skills. So it's all about what you have here. And I think, you know, if you're going to fish in that pool of good players, sometimes you've got to throw them back. And that's what we have to do. But at the same time, we've got to take care of the ones that are here and develop the ones that are here, and that's most important.
Talking to Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt baseball coach. Now, did I see, I think it was last week, that Dansby came by and was hanging out with you guys?
He was. He was here for a wedding, and so he came back on Friday and Saturday. It was good to have him here. He got down to the field and was talking to some of the kids. Some of the infielders had some questions for him, so that was good. And Dans is he's a philanthropic kid. He gives back in so many different ways. I mean, the fact that, you know, he just shares his number. He's a very simple kid, really. When you think about, you know, his major league life and what he does, he really concentrates on this. And he's got a wife that is rehabilitating, and she's got her own career in soccer. So they have a very active life. But this is a guy who's going to be a dad someday. And I just love what he's about. I love the life that he's created. But I say simple because this is really, he just wants to immerse himself in his team. He loves to win. He loves to get better. He loves to think of ways to get better. And he opens himself up and shares. And I love that about him.
How beneficial, and you've talked about this before, is it, though, to have guys like Dansby and others that, you know, have come through there and gone on to the majors, you know, and had such great careers? You know, Kyle Wright, we've had him on a few weeks ago and talked to him, but that they can come back and they can speak to your kids now and, you know, not necessarily about, hey, this is what you got to do to make it to the bigs, but just talk ball and simplify things. How much does that help you from a coaching aspect?
It's great. It's all like automatic street cred. You know, they come in here and it's like a library of information, and we have a lot of kids on the field. They've left now, but, you know, you look down here on at this time right now in January, and it's kind of a who's who of major league players. And I think that's the cool part. You know, if Sonny Gray's throwing a bullpen, then, you know, most of our staff is down there watching him. You know, if they have class, they don't, but they make sure that they see him. But it's still funny, though, how even when Dansby played here, you know, when Pedro Alvarez would come back, there was some hesitancy for Dansby just to go up and talk to him and ask him a question. He would. Well, you find that today, too, because Dansby's here, and, you know, there was a young man. He said, do you think Dansby would mind if I'd ask him a question? And I said, hell no. He's a human being. He bleeds like you. He puts his clothes on just like you, too. I said, he's one of us. I said, just go up to him and treat him like, you know, he's one of your teammates, because he is. He's just older. He just left. So it's funny how that still works. But They do have, they could say anything and it wouldn't matter. Those kids, they look at that as gospel and it sticks to them. And I appreciate that.
I don't know if you remember this or not, Coach, but every time, you know, Sonny Gray's name comes up, I always think about me and you in Clarksville, 2007.
Yeah. Watching
Sonny pitch that night, and we were there for about an hour and a half or so, and just, you know, I think they lost the game 1-0, but Sonny was just amazing that time, and you know, that was 17. We've been best friends for 17 years, Coach.
Joe, I'll never forget that, Joe. That memory sticks to me because it was Reed Harper Ryan Harper versus Sonny Gray, and they just went back and forth and. They both pitchers were striking out everyone, but I remember we were on the first base side.
Yep.
And watching that game. That was one of the best pitch games I have seen in the state of Tennessee. But yeah, you got a great memory. That was a special moment. But Sonny created a lot of those moments in high school too. I know you followed him in football, and that I remember going over to our football staff back then because I so bad wanted Sonny here, and I said, would you guys consider recruiting Sonny Gray in football? And I remember the offensive coordinator looking at me and he said, yep, I would. He goes, my only hesitancy is this. And he puts up two fingers, his thumb and his finger, just to show me 2 inches. And he said, that's the difference right there. He wasn't big enough. And I thought, geez, you know, say that to Doug Flutie, say that to Johnny Manziel,
right.
You know, say that to the Russell Wilsons in college. Those guys have a way of winning, and Sonny certainly did. But he was all ours, and I guess that was a good thing.
And we've talked about this before, and down memory lane, 2009 in the regions up in Louisville when Indiana loaded the bases with zero outs, and Sonny got out of it, like the third or fourth inning, and got out of that. And we're like, all right, he's got it. He's something special right here.
I remember that too. That was unbelievable, and we ended up, you know, winning that game. But that's the type of things he did that here against Tennessee. His junior year, same thing. Bases loaded. It was early in the game. I think it was the second inning, and he got out of it. He's just got a way about him of kind of those magic moments right there. And even when he wasn't pitching, you know, he was always in the dugout and he was always chirping me. And because if we get a runner on in second inning, or I mean on second base late in the game, he'd always have his cleats on. He'd go, Corbs, he goes, I'm going to run for him. And every time I put him in there to pinch run, he always end up scoring. So he had that kind of magic thing with going on with him.
Oh, that's so good. Well, Corbs, it's good to talk to you. We're definitely going to be doing this a lot throughout the season. Okay. Good luck this weekend against Gonzaga, and thanks so much for doing this today.
Okay. Chase, Joe, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt baseball coach, joining us here on the program. And, yes, we will be talking to him quite a bit as now Vanderbilt baseball is on our airwaves. And, you know, I do want to make sure people understand this with – so much going on at one time, Preds, Vandy basketball,
right.
Women's basketball, baseball. They do tend to rotate around a little bit.
Sure.
Tomorrow, the game number one of that series will be on 94.9 The Fan starting at 4:15. On Saturday, also on 94.9 The Fan at 1:45. And then Sunday afternoon, right here on 102.5 The Game starting at 12:45 against Gonzaga. So it does get a little confusing, but you know, we have several stations, several options, but we are the home of the Commodores. So
well done. Two things. We're going to revisit our question. All the response is great. We want to hear who your favorite play-by-play announcer is, because today's the 44th anniversary of the Miracle on Ice. So what is your favorite call of all time? Does not have to be from the same announcer. It could be completely different. It doesn't matter. We want to hear that. Plus, come back. I got an interesting stat for you, Chase McCabe, on Tim Corbin that you might not know.
Ooh.
That you might be able to drop at a party and have people like, this Chase McCabe knows what he's talking about.
Well, if cell phones are working today, I'd call some people and tell them. But apparently they're having
not.
Some trouble. So
damn it.
We'll do that coming up next. It's the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Take a shot here.
Cunningham looks. Play fake. Down the left side. He's got Chisholm out there. Caught. He's gone. He is gone. He is gone. 99 yards. Touchdown, Middle Tennessee. DJ Ivy. How about that? Ivy was the man who was beat, and Chisholm turned on the Jets, and it's a 99-yard pass play.
Show me that smile.
Well, Chip Walters for you as we play some play-by-play clips. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. We were kind of joking about it, but did want to mention there is a pretty big outage for AT&T customers today. They released a statement, quote, "Some of our customers are experiencing wireless service interruptions this morning. We are working urgently to restore service to them. We encourage the use of Wi-Fi calling until service is restored." That coming from AT&T. So, no, several of you have had issues this morning with your phones. So just wanted to pass that along that I guess they're working on it. So
still going on, too. Yeah. So if you can't call out, you can text. So there you have it. That's how they control this, Chaser.
I guess. Mine's working good. So
continue the responses on somebody on the text line are just are crazy. 615-737-1025, your all-time favorite play-by-play announcer and your favorite call of all time. Dr. Crane's been throwing some of those up today because Eli Gold came down yesterday, the announcement in Alabama. He's not being retained, says he's healthy. So
I don't think he's done yet. He'll find something.
I agree with you on that, Chaser. I think he'll come back for that. Also, all right, so keep him coming in. We're going to read some of those in a moment. And also the 44th anniversary of the what we think the greatest call of all time is, the Miracle on Ice with Al Michaels. All right, the Tim Corbin stat. All right?
Yeah, hit me.
There are only, hold on, 7 college coaches who have won multiple national championships still coaching. This is in all the sports. Football, basketball, baseball, women's basketball. Can you name any of them?
Multiple championships, any sport in college.
So Tim Corbin is one of them. Let's start in football. Can you do football?
Okay.
There are 2 in football.
2
current,
in football.
Current, active.
Dabo.
That's one.
Okay.
Active college football coaches. That's one.
Dabo's one.
Here's your clue. Vacuum cleaner.
I don't know what that
a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
From a commercial?
It's a brand.
Hoover?
Nope. What else do you know? You know more. Not a Dyson. What's the next vacuum
dirt
cleaner?
Dirt Devil.
No, not a Dirt Devil.
Bissell?
No, not a Bissell. Come on, you got one. When you know this, you're going to be like, oh, man.
See, I probably know the answer, but now I'm.
You do.
You've confused
it's
me.
It's an SEC coach.
An SEC. Saban just retired. Hugh never won one.
DeWalt? I don't know.
Oh.
Come on.
See, now there's, there's too much pressure now. Just who is it?
Kirby Smart.
Oh, Kirby. Yeah.
Kirby Vacuum Cleaner.
I didn't know there was a Kirby
Okay.
Are they still around? Is that like a...
See, I knew the answer to that, but I just...
My bad.
You threw me off.
She said a hint for like brain or intelligence.
Well, here's my thing. Like on questions like this, I'm not good at them because then I put too much pressure on myself and I overthink it. Had I just like...
Aren't you doing the promotions for Hims? You should have no pressure. You should
it takes some pressure off.
Yeah, it takes some pressure
off. Well,
it
puts
man.
It. Never mind. But,
yes.
Yeah, Kirby and Dabo. Okay, so that's. So Corbin, Kirby, Dabo are the 3 of the 7.
Right? All right, women's college basketball.
LSU.
Kim Mulkey.
Kim Mulkey. Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
2 more.
Gino.
Gino, and 1 more. SEC coach as well?
South Carolina.
Bingo. Dawn Staley. All right. Staley. So there's one. There's actually 2 college basketball coaches that are active, but one got his title ripped away from him. So it's basically only one that's recognized. Only one college basketball coach currently has multiple national championships.
By the way, Gator Tim says, come on, Joe. Chase isn't old enough to know Kirby vacuums. Everybody was yelling at me, Kirby. I know, it's Kirby. One got ripped away, college basketball.
And he is being talked about. He's an active college basketball coach.
Oh, Patino.
Patino, yeah.
Yeah.
Louisville in 2013 got ripped away. That leaves only one coach who has multiple, according to this list, that's multiple national championships.
Oh, Bill Self.
That's right, man.
Yeah.
I was gonna say you better check yourself or you wreck yourself. That'd have been your clue, but you did well.
Just gotta let me process for a second.
So Corbin's part of that list. So that's
Bill Self, Rick Pitino, Kim Mulkey, Don Staley,
Gino
Auriemma, Dabo Swinney, Kirby Smart,
correct,
Tim Corbin,
and there might be another baseball coach
that's
that I'm
eight.
Forgetting about. But so eight together.
Yeah.
So Corbin plus that equals eight. Yeah.
Okay. That's a pretty good stat.
Did well on that. Good job.
That's pretty good stat.
Thank you so much for that.
This is what we like to do. We like to teach the people different things.
Wes in Clarksville, this outage from AT&T shows us how much people depend on cell phones. Madness on social media about it. Well, I mean, that's how they're going to get us one day, right? That's what I'm being told.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like, if I could get rid of mine and social media and everything and be fine and able to do my job, I would, but I can't. So
no, it's...
Yeah, but he's right. That's for sure. By the way, so I know you're not a video game person, but you know that the college football video game is coming back,
mm-hmm.
right? Kirk Herbstreit has announced he'll be a part of it.
Of course he
is. On the play-by-play or color analyst.
Look, MTSU football just tweeted something out. Can you explain about the EA? Can you explain that to me? They just a moment ago tweeted out, I guess they're part of it? Are they players now?
So I guess that EA, through all the NIL deals and all that stuff, every team has been, offered to go into it. And, yeah, I guess so they're in it. So MTSU will be a part of College Football 25.
There are 134 teams that have been officially announced into the game, and Vanderbilt's one of them as well.
Well, it's going to be everybody.
Yeah, obviously so.
So they're paying people to have their name in there?
Well, there's different. I think they got the schools for the name, image, and likeness of the schools.
Okay.
I don't know about coaches. Coaches weren't in it before.
No.
But they might be now. But the players, yes. I mean, there will be some real players, but they get a piece, they get a piece of the pie.
According to On3 Sports, each player will receive $600 and a copy of the video game.
That's it.
I mean, that's what it says on On3 Sports.
For not $600 for not, you didn't do anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's not bad though.
Right.
You're like, that's it. No, that's great, man.
Huh. But I bet there's going to be some legends and everything. Like, I'm excited. Like, I don't get to play video games much anymore, but I think we're going to have to do like a little party, here at the station where we all play.
Well, I mean,
football.
You know how everybody takes like a day off, like for President's Day, because it's like a federal holiday. Let's just take college football day.
Yeah, Sean and Bud are gonna be like, "Hey, look, we're gonna be a network for a day." Sorry.
Well, I mean, I'm not a big video game guy anymore, but I understand the power of that. I mean, because didn't they have a drone fly over the Rose Bowl and like we're back and all the good stuff there. Is it O'Bannon who got the blame for all this?
Yep. And look, it was the right thing. But yeah, it was the Ed O'Bannon case from the basketball games, and so the basketball games went away first, and then the college football held on for a little while longer. But it was so cool because like you could play a mode where I could upload and be at FRA as like a quarterback and be recruited and then go play it wherever
with the actual logos.
Oh, yeah. The actual logos, then you go play it whatever college, and then you could export your player to Madden and then be in the NFL.
It was pretty cool, Joe.
Oh, yeah. It was fun.
When I was in high school, when I was playing football.
I was a five-star quarterback.
See? There you go.
Chase McCabe.
All my friends were like, "Oh, you going to make another team builder team for NCAA?" I was like, "Sure, why not?" I put the jerseys to an absolute, to the nth degree, correct. All my friends loved it.
Do you remember during COVID, one of the Barstool guys fired up his old Xbox with like NCAA 14 and did the dynasty mode with a coach, and that's where the whole Coach Tubbs or whatever.
The Tennessee guy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, but he did – he coached at, like, Baylor and LSU, and then he went to Tennessee, and, like, he played, like, 20-something seasons with this guy as a coach, and it, like, became this whole thing. Coach – it wasn't Tubbs. It was
– I do remember you're talking about now.
Yeah, but it was funny. 615-737-1025. Come back with more, including resetting the Predators back in action tonight. Got a few thoughts on them. 105-106-3, the game.
Ball comes loose, and the Bears have to get out of bounds. Rodgers along the sideline. Another one. They're still in deep trouble at midfield. They tried to do a couple of... The ball is still loose as they get it to Rodgers. They give it back now to the 30. They're down to the 20. All the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone. He's going to go into the Bears. The Bears have won. The Bears have won. Oh, my God. The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
The band is on the field. When was that?
82. Two. Wow. John Elway's last game at Stanford, I think.
Yeah, so that was Cal Stanford, huh? That's Cal, a good one. That's an iconic.
Cal Naughton. Let's Gator Tim, thank you. He says Tim Walton has won two national championships with Florida softball. So that's add another one to the list. We're talking about active college coaches that have won multiple national championships because we had the great Tim Corbin on with us earlier this hour.
Cool. So awesome. Yeah. Thanks for weighing that in with weighing in on that. Tim
here's
Walton.
Here's a good one. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Keith and Bowling Green, some UK fan. Kaywood Ledford was always my favorite. Sadly, his last game calling Kentucky basketball was the Christian Laettner game. Ouch. Mm. After the game, he was saying goodbye to the radio audience, and Coach K came over, sat down beside Kaywood, and expressed how much Kaywood meant to college basketball. I've never liked Coach K, but I thought that was a classy move. That is a hell of a classy move.
Oh, yeah.
To do that, because that was, at that point, Coach K only won one national championship the year before, and then he won it in 92, next one. So, that one. Dr. Grant, see if you can find that one. Kaywood Ledford calling the Duke-Kentucky basketball game. Thank you, Keith and Bowling Green. I did not know that, and that is an interesting factoid, so thank you.
It's crazy to think about. So how many championships did Coach K end up winning overall? Was it four or five?
91, 92, 2000, and after that I get fuzzy because...
I mean, he took just a basketball program and...
Well, they went in 86, got beat by never-nervous Purvis Ellison in 86. They got run out of the gym by UNLV in 90.
91, 92, 01, 10, and 15.
There you go. 01 was Shane Battier. Yeah. And then 10 and 15, I don't remember who's on the team. But, I mean, they were always there. And then the 91 was when they beat Kansas, I think, in 91 to win the national championship. When they had to go through UNLV, was going to go back to repeat. And
he was runner-up four times, 86, 90, 94, 99.
94 was the Arkansas team, and 99 was Connecticut. But the 94 too was the Arkansas team that just hit.
Yeah.
Scotty Thurman and Corliss Williamson and – remember Bill Clinton was at that game. God, that's crazy that I remember all that, but I don't remember your name. I just don't.
Oh, that's okay. It's Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, how are you, man?
Predators back in action tonight against L.A. And, you know, it's funny. I hope it continues. And I thought that Dan Hynot said it perfectly earlier when he was on with us that, you know, every team goes through their stuff. And you want to get your stuff out of the way before.
Yeah.
You know, the playoffs and all of that. And, you know, his hope is they've gotten their stuff out of the way. You know, they lose 9-2 to Dallas in the worst game I've ever seen, like, with them. I mean, it just terrible, just awful game. And then they bounce back, and in their last two, they've scored 10 goals, and they've given up five. So, you know, and Vegas gave them a fight the other night down the stretch, but they were able to hold on and win at 5-3. They're going to have a tough one tonight against L.A., because, you know, the Kings are right there fighting for a playoff spot, just like the Predators are. They're fourth in their division with 66 points. And you know, you look at the wild card, Predators are tied with St. Louis trying to get in. The Kings have that first wild card spot with 66 points, so they have a pretty good hold on that right now. But, you know, this is going to be a tough test yet again tonight.
I remember years ago when Barry Trotz on here talking about all that's to come and all that's to come down the road. And I remember him saying, let's just take care of tonight.
Yeah, one game at a time.
Let's take care of tonight and see where we are after that. If we focus on what's Saturday or what's Sunday, we'll get get our butts kicked tonight. So go out and win. I mean, did I think they'd beat Vegas? No, but they beat Vegas, and anything could happen. And so you go out and beat the Kings. I mean, what if you just go through this road trip? You win tonight, you win the two this weekend, you come back to town, you're on fire, you're feeling good, you're playing your best hockey, and you roll into the playoffs. And there were some, again, this tired argument, Chase, that I hate, is like, well, I'd rather them get a great draft position than get beat in the first round of the playoffs. Well, how do you know they're going to get beat? How do you know? Is that the same mindset they had in 2017?
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of people, because they were, when you break both conferences down, the Preds were the 16th ranked team going in, right? And they're playing the number one team in the Blackhawks. Look what happened. I hate that sorry-ass mindset of, you know, let's get a draft position. We don't need to get in there. No, man. The goal is to get to the playoffs and to win the Stanley Cup. And
yep.
You can only do that by getting to the playoffs.
Yeah, you got to get into the show. That's for sure. And
now
so,
you got me mad.
Barry Trotz. Well, I didn't do it. Barry Trotz is you know, going to obviously be monitoring what happens with the trade deadline and what his team does. I mean, if they continue to win, then I think he's going to be looking at more adding than subtracting to see what this team can do in the playoffs. And that's exactly what he should do. I mean, I said a few weeks ago that they were at the point where I'd probably start taking calls to sell off, but if they play like they have the last two games, then we're going to be having a different conversation, because that has been good Predators. Now they got to do it at home.
Right.
That's the other thing. They got to do it at home, and they haven't been able to do that. Terry wants to weigh in on the national championship. Terry, what's up?
Okay, it's Terry. How you guys doing?
Good. How are
what's
you,
up, man?
Fine. Unless someone has already called in, you left the name off of the multiple championships.
Okay.
That was Tara Vanderveer of Stanford basketball.
She's still coaching?
Yep.
She was, yeah. I mean, this list was an active list that we saw. Her name wasn't even on there. Thank you for that.
Okay, you're quite welcome.
Yep, appreciate
you. How damn them not having her on the list.
Yeah.
It wasn't on there.
See, that, I mean, look, it's a great stat, but they always leave somebody off.
Well,
it's not your fault.
I'm calling somebody right now.
Get on the horn.
Simply unacceptable.
I do have one more. Mississippi State head baseball coach Chris Lemonis. I believe that's his correct pronunciation of the last name, but won in 2020, 2021. So Mississippi State's first national championship ever. Their whole university.
Well, do they have multiple?
Multiple.
Thanks for listening.
Sorry.
Well, he's been trying to get a lot of play-by-play.
I'm still
he's
trying.
So adorable. I mean, that's right. Good job, Doctor. Yeah, it's multiple national active college coaches with multiple national championships. On
okay.
That. So, look, we've grown the list. Tara Vanderveer, is it Vanderveer at Stanford?
Yeah.
And then Tim Walton at Florida.
Yep.
Softball. So, thank you for
we're growing the list.
Yeah.
And by the way, the EA Sports, it is all 134 FBS schools. So all of them.
It's a lot of money you got to dole out.
Yeah. And Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit, two of the voices. So I think that'll be pretty cool.
Herbstreit.
Fowler's awesome, though.
Love Fowler.
If you missed his interview with Jared at the Super Bowl, go back and listen to it, because it was really, really good.
I'm a big Fowler fan because he was a big Mike Leach fan. Although Fowler pissed off a lot of Tennessee fans in 1997 when Peyton didn't win the Heisman Trophy, if you remember this.
Yeah.
Well, remember what he said?
No.
In the book, when Peyton didn't – and this was the ESPN book by Bill Miller, great book.
Those guys have all the fun?
Yep, yeah. Great book. He says that Fowler said that when Peyton didn't win the Heisman Trophy, the state of Tennessee went into a trailer park frenzy.
Oh.
And remember, game day did not go back to Knoxville for a long, long time. And they said it wasn't because Tennessee wasn't – and I don't believe that. I believe that he got so much hatred for that they were, okay, we're not going to do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and also get to celebrity birthdays and much, much more. It's the Chase and Big Joe Show here on this Thursday, presented by Regal Realty Group, 1025, 1063, The Game.
And Kentucky. Here's the long pass, and Leitner's got it. Puts down a dribble, turns with a jumper. Good! And Duke wins it.
104-103. That is why they're number one.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. So that was Haywood Jeffries?
Kaywood Ledford.
Kaywood, sorry.
Kaywood.
Kaywood, thank
you. If Haywood Jeffries made that call while also playing for the Houston Oilers.
That would have been good.
Damn Kaywood. Good talent right there. That's okay. Look, you were not, I mean, you were up 4 years old when that happened. That's okay.
Yeah, half of these, I don't know.
Myself, I'm an old man, so that's what happened.
Jesse Palmer has announced he's in the college football video game as a voice.
Okay, I guess they all will at some point.
Yeah.
Why don't you go get the announcers? Hell, if that's the case, go to each team, right?
Oh, that would be awesome.
And then put their play-by-play and their color analyst in, right?
With AI, you could probably
The JoJo makes it.
With AI, you could easily do that.
I'll take $600 right now.
That'd be awesome.
I'll do it. That's all you got to pay me.
Joe, is this you?
That's all you got to do is pay me. I just shut my mouth and let the great Chip Walters make the call and get paid.
All right, with that, Dr. Crane, tell us what day it is.
Bear with me.
That's
sorry,
your call. All right, well, you know, it's fine. How you doing, Joe?
Oh, okay. All right. I emailed it to you, Dr. Crane. Did you get it?
I did. I was trying to get all the audio in and all that.
He's busy. It's
excuse
okay.
me.
We'll skip the birthdays.
Let's just do birthdays.
That's fine. I mean, okay. I can get it real quick.
You're good. Okay. Let's do birthdays.
Go ahead.
All right. Birthdays. Here we go. Celebrity birthdays, America's favorite game. All right. First birthday, Kyle MacLachlan. How old is he? Kyle MacLachlan. He was in Twin Peaks. Bunch of other things. Kyle MacLachlan.
58.
63.
65. Dr. Crane knows his good TV shows.
Dagnabbit.
Rachel Dratch. Debbie Downer. How old is Debbie Downer today?
62.
74.
58.
Oh, boy.
Should have reversed.
I think she was on Star Trek. Jerry Ryan?
Oh, yeah. 7 of 9. She's still in on Picard.
She's on Picard?
Yeah, the show Picard.
Oh, well, I was going to say that. This is a family show, Chase. Easy, pal.
Not that.
Easy. Goodness.
Jerry Ryan is 49.
55. 56. Dang. Dr. Crane. Well done, buddy. Let's see who this is here. Don't know who that is. Let's see. Singer James Blunt.
James Blunt's 44.
James Blunt, 57.
50.
Okay.
James Blunt is 50. Drew Barrymore. And by the way, have you seen her talk show?
It's on Fox, I think, right?
Yeah.
She's just different. She, like, sits next to the guests and, like, pats their hair. It's a weird show.
You tried to do that
she
to
got
me
that
once.
From, yeah.
Well, I sat in your lap.
And it's weird.
Yeah, that during the whole show.
I think Drew kind of watched you a little bit and was like, no, I'm doing my own spin on it.
How old is Drew Barrymore?
Drew Barrymore is 56.
53.
49.
What do I know?
That's right. What do you know? Let's see. Oh, Toby Flanderson from The Office. Paul Lieberstein. How old is he? How old's Toby?
52.
59.
57. Oh, Dr. Crane's little Greg Maddux shutout going on here.
Painting the corners.
Well done. Let's see. Who else? Oh, yeah. Drummer Scott Phillips of Creed.
Rex Road, are you listening?
Got to get that, Joe Rex Road. How old is Scott Phillips of Creed?
48.
54.
51. Mm. You're so close there, Dr. Crane.
I almost said 53.
All right, we're going to end it on this one right here. One of you two have to get this. The great Dr. J. How old is Dr. J today?
Julius Irving... 72.
81.
He is 74. Chaser, you lose 3-1, but you
get on the board.
But you get on the board. Well done there. Again,
thank you.
Thanks for all the interaction. You guys on the text line and the listeners are fantastic with all the responses today. So shout out to you guys. Thank you.
Indeed. That is going to do it for us. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace next.
Yeah, as we leave you every show to our guys out there, we're just now listening to our show at the end. We talk to the guys out there that are struggling, having problems. Listen, go talk to somebody, please. You can dial 988 on your cell phone, and you talk to us anytime you need to. I know times are tough. It's okay not to be okay. Understand that. But also know that we love you, and our world is a better place because you are here, and I want you guys to know that.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. Next, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.